Lord, we are coming before your presence and we are thankful that you are that fountain that just comes and fills our lives. And God, we pray that today, through your scripture, through your word, may we all be able to be filled through you. And by that, God, empower us to be a presence of hope for this world. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We have been going through this sermon series of Rooted, and we have learned to be rooted in different ways. Today, we're going to learn about what it means to be rooted in holiness. It's important for all of us to know, where do you really root your life? You know, somehow we have things in our lives that actually become the foundation of who we are and what we believe. Where are you rooting your life? What's that foundation? As United Methodist Church, I love the foundation that we have in this denomination. One of the things we learn is that we have the foundation of something called the religion of the heart. This doesn't mean that it's about just having a denomination, an institution. It has a very deep meaning. I like what John Wesley says. He says, a state of possessing righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It means that you have in your mind the understanding that the foundation of your life is Christ, and your emotions are led by that reality, by that truth. The other thing we learn is that our foundation is in God's grace. And you see, the grace of God, I love how we can understand this to the United Methodist denomination. We learn about prevenient grace. It's that grace that is working in your life before you are aware. Then there is the justifying grace. And that is when you have understand that the grace that we hear from God is not something set up apart from you, but actually is now part of your story. Some of you received that moment as a specific moment and time in your life. For some of you, it has been like these steps where you have learned more and more than, yes, that grace is for you too. But we don't end there. We have more. What is the next one? Sanctifying grace. So we learn to say, you know, now that the Lord is part of my life and my story, now I'm going to grow in that faith and in that relationship to the point that also my life is transformed. So there are other things about this that we need to learn too. We were talking about the sequoia trees. You remember that? How they are so tall trees, but they don't have really deep roots. They have long roots that connect with other trees that makes them strong. So we have learned about that. But also I want you to learn to see the big picture. You see how beautiful that is? That is real. I mean, and this beautiful landscape is real because also one important aspect to be able to grow is that whole environment, the ecosystem where a plant grows. So as with plants, we also need to remember and also to learn what's the ecosystem where I can grow better, where I can really thrive in life. And that ecosystem is precisely what we're talking today, holiness. The place where I can develop, grow, thrive is when my life is rooted in that holiness. But what does that mean? I love the definition here again that our brother John Wesley gave us. He says, I continue to dream and pray about a revival of holiness in our day that moves forth in mission and creates authentic community in which each person can be unleashed through the empowerment of the Spirit to fulfill God's creational intentions. I want you to just think a little bit about this thing, this definition and this concept. It almost sounds contradictory in this because he has the word holiness and he's talking about how he's praying for those who are living in holiness, but they are unleashed. Now, this prayer was done hundreds of years ago, but don't you think this applied to us too? We wish that holy people who are moving in mission because they want to create authentic community that unleash the power of the Spirit. A person that is holy is a person that unleash that power. But when we think about holiness, usually we don't think in unleash. We think the opposite. For some reason, that word holiness, we misuse it because we think to be holy means that I am standing up in a place and I'm not moving and I'm just very strict with myself. But what Wesley understands and what the Bible tells us is the opposite. When we are holy, we are unleashed. You see, this word, I probably understood the full meaning One time when I was in the beach with my family and I saw a dog running in the beach. Have you ever seen that? How does the dog look? Sad, depressed. He's like rolling for Jesus, right? Let me show you how he looks. Unleash. Love it. Don't you want to be a dog? After you watch this, we're like, I want to be a dog and jump like him. I absolutely love that 50-second video because it just brings you that joy of the being unleashed. That's what it means, that word. And that's the purpose of what does it mean to be in holiness. It means that you understand that you are free to thrive in life. But how do we get there? And that's how the scripture that we read today is about. It starts, it's really a special scripture. If you see, it's in 1 Peter. I encourage you, if you have your Bible, open it there. Or if you have your bulletin, check it there. Because there are several things that are important in here. The very first one is the very first word that you read there. Which is which one? So, or the other word that you can use is therefore. Right? So or therefore. And any of you who are very good about grammar, what does that mean when you say so or therefore? It means inclusion. It means something happened before that brings you to this conclusion. So when we see this part, 1 Peter, what he's saying before this section, he's telling to all these people who are going through persecution and different things, but he's also telling them, you know, what's beautiful about that you are now experiencing is that you are understanding the grace of God. You are not understanding the value of your life because at this point, you get that you have been able to be saved by God's grace and his love. Now your life is having a meaning and you are connecting with the holy, mighty God that we have. He's saying that first. And then he says, then, therefore, because you know where you are, this is necessary for you to be able to thrive in that reality. So it's coming from an abundance. This is not God asking us like a bunch of rules that we need to follow. When we are receiving a request or a command from God, usually it's coming as a consequence of something that God has given in abundance to us. So it makes sense. It makes sense that he's saying, you know, I have blessed you in this way. I have given you this grace. You understand who you are in God. You have the Holy Spirit. So at that point, you are rocking for Jesus. You get it. Now, because you have that abundance, then you can act in this way. You can react in this way. And he's giving us five different commands in here. Can you find them? The first one, actually, I put them in bold, guys. You can get there, yeah? Okay, the first one, prepare, okay? Second one, put. Third one, that's kind of hide it. Love, thank you, live. Thank you, Jason, because you're the only one listening in the sermon. Third, don't. And then, be, very good, be. So that's what we're going to do. The first one, it says, so, prepare your minds for action, an exercise of control. Prepare. How do we prepare in here? And that is very special, the word that Peter is using there to be prepared. It is the word that is kind of what we see in this picture. During the time of the New Testament, whenever men were wearing as clothing was more like a robe, like when you're using a choir robe. So they will be walking with that. But when they needed to get ready to work, like or fishing or doing something like that, they needed to tie their robe, as you can see in that picture. That was the way they will be prepared so they can move and they can be ready for an action. This also reminds me Gideon. How many of you know who I'm talking about? Gideon was one of the judges. And when you read in Gideon, you can see that he was trying to put together an army for the Lord. And he got 10,000 men and he was very excited about that. But then God told them, okay, you go and they're going to have a drink of water from this lake. And while they are drinking water, several of them, they were totally on their knees drinking water. But some of the other ones, they stayed standing up while they were drinking water. And God told Gideon, you're going to pick as those who are going to the battle, who? Just the ones who were standing up. Why? Because those are the only ones who were ready. I mean, if you're going to be in a battle, you're not going to be on your knees. It's going to take you a lot to stand up and to get ready. It was more that he picked those who were ready. So it's asking here, you need to learn to be ready, to be prepared. And what it's telling in Peter is you need to be prepared. Why? Because you're going through different circumstances that are hard to know. Let me ask you that. We are in 2019, right? 2019, right? Okay, because then sometimes I forget. After 45 years old, everything becomes blurry in my life. So we are in 2019. Can you assure me that you know for sure that your life in 2019, you will never get sick? Can you assure me that you're winning the lottery? Can you assure me that no problem, crisis, struggle is going to happen to you in 2019? No? Can you think about somebody who's going to be there for you to help you? Dr. Phil. You know? Dr. Pepper. You know, that's another one. Sorry. I mean, you cannot assure anything of that. So when we don't have anything for sure, it's when we need to be ready so that whatever we face in life, we are ready for that. And the scripture is very clear. How do I get ready? Is when I know the word of God, when I know the scripture. Guys, what we have in this book in the Bible, it is not just suggestions. It is not just a good alternative for this difficult life. This is the word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Old Testament and New Testament. When I know this word, I know who is the God that I have. I know who I am for God, and I know that I can be unleashed to great and awesome things. But the problem that we have is when we don't know the word of God, then we come to weird conclusions. And the ones who are more vocal about that is the people who probably know the Bible the less. And then those are the ones we listen. I just heard about one pastor somewhere in the world that he says, really? The Bible is not really the word of God, guys. And you know, Jesus is not really God. And I'm like, I pray he has a sore throat. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, but I did. Because like, why are you saying that? I mean, have you read the scripture? Do you know what it is? But this part, 2 Timothy 3:16, is very clear for us. Why do I need to know this book? It says, all scripture is inspired by who? By God. And you can prove that by the consistency of this scripture. And it says, and it's useful to teach us what is what? What is true. So if you want to find the truth, if you want to understand why am I here, the value of my life, learn it in the scripture. And to make us realize what is what? Wrong in our lives. You are aware that there are some things in your life that are wrong, right? If not, we can talk in my office. We'll pray together on that one. And I know I'm wrong. I mean, ask Abel, you know, and we all have those places where we need to grow. And the scripture, when you're reading, it does something that sometimes is not funny, and it's called conviction. It's like you're reading it, and I'm like, why am I feeling so uncomfortable? Has it happened to you? Actually, that's a good thing. Because it's kind of God making you uncomfortable, so you deal with that. You mature in that place. You grow through that place. And it's a way for us to go back and focus in the right location of our growth. And it says, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives, it corrects us when we are wrong. Isn't that great? Corrects us when we are wrong. Now, Abel has a new car because our previous car started talking back to us. So every time we were driving, he will have this conversation with us while we are driving, to the point that we couldn't talk to the person next to us. And so Evo has a new car. And when he's driving and he's getting close to the wrong line, it does this kind of thing. And I'm not driving that car because it makes me neurotic. And again, he's like, do you see how nice this is? When I get wrong, it brings me back to the right line. You know what I'm talking about. You guys have fancy cars. And so it's just like, all right, praise the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. So I have my whole sermon because of that car. So I'm like, I get it. So sometimes the scripture is going to do that on you. And not like that, you know what I'm saying. And brings you back to the truth because of his love for all of us. He's not going to let you get in the wrong place. You're going to, what happens if you keep going in the wrong line? You die or kill somebody. And it's the same in our life. If we keep going in the wrong direction, we won't be able to thrive. We will die, or worst, we will hurt people. Because we're in the wrong direction. And then the last thing it says, and it teaches us to do what is right. It also gives that direction. So we get ready by knowing the scripture. I was sharing this with Karen. Would it be wonderful that we come back to that tradition of just memorizing scripture? Just to learn some aspects of scripture. I'm not asking you to learn Psalm 119 for tomorrow. If you know what I'm talking about, that's the longest psalm in the Bible. How many verses there, Tom? You need to know a lot. John, soon tell your husband. And I'm more into let's learn Psalm 117, because that's the shortest psalm. But what if we start just growing on saying, you know, I'm going to learn the scripture? Because it happens that when that crisis comes, your brain triggers that scripture and reminds you who you are in there. So that's the first thing. We are ready by learning the scripture of the Lord. Then the second thing we learn is put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So we get ready, but we get ready for a purpose. As Christians, we have a purpose in life, and that's our purpose. The hope that comes with that gracious salvation that God will give us. So that's why we're getting ready, to have that hope that God has given to all of us. So through this time, we need to learn to be focused, to remember why we are here. We see that on 1 Peter 2 at the beginning. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into what? Living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your focus and mine. So while I am in life, whatever I do, regardless what my job is, I am living as a person knowing I am in this world, but this is not the end for me. I have an eternal life. And in this world, I can also make a change because my life is connected with that reality. It's a bigger picture. It's a bigger picture of life. So I am going to keep my focus on that bigger picture, and that will make an impact on who I am right now. So your priorities change, isn't it? When you know you have more abundance of other things, your priority change. Think about what that meant for the people that Peter was writing. These are people who were in persecution. They were in persecution because they were Christians. Their lives had an end there. In some cases, very quickly. So Peter is telling them, while you are going through this, know that there is a living hope. We grasp that as a reality that keeps us going in life. Then the next thing is, so you must what? Live as God's obedient children. We need to live as God's obedient children. So what's that? Is we need to learn just to be obedient, to listen when God is guiding us back to the right direction. I love this picture. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. That will is good, is pleasing, and perfect. So that's the direction. If I know the Lord has that good will and pleasing and perfect, follow that. But when we follow that, many times we're going to be the weirdos of the community. Do you get that? Embrace that. Embrace the reality of saying, yes, I'm weird, but for the right reason. I'm weird because I'm not going to follow that gossiping against that person. I'm not going to follow that behavior of that other person. I'm not. Because I want to be able to be conformed to the pattern. No, I don't want to be conformed to this pattern. I want to be transformed by the power of God. There is a pastor that I respect a lot from Mexico. And I remember that there was a season in his life that he was taking a detour in his faith. And his mother was really upset about that. So he would do some decisions that were not that good. Wasn't really good. So the mom, when he heard that he was closing the door and he said, "Goodbye, Mom." The mom says, "I pray that you are not blessed in what you're doing." And he felt offended. And he said, "Mom, how come you're saying that to me? I mean, every child, whenever they leave, the mom says, 'God bless you,' and you're telling me that?" And she says, "Because I love you. And I'm praying that you learn that that's not going to bless your life. And I hope that you realize that soon before it gets harder for you." And he told me, he says, "It was a struggle. I realized I was wrong. I realized how empty I was." And he came back. He came back to being that obedience that God has provided. So we need to learn to be obedient, to live that. And then don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. Don't slip back. You know, that is a common situation for all of us. Whenever we go to stress, what do? We tend to go back to what has been a place for us of codependency. It's like we go to those things that make us feel comfortable. But sometimes those are not the healthiest places. You see, when I get stressed, what do? My tend to go back is to get anxious or in fear. But that doesn't help me to grow. So it's saying, do not go back there. You don't need to go back there anymore. You know where God is guiding you. Though by that, what we remember and we need to learn is that we are shaped by God. Now, there is something important we need to learn about that shaping. This is a sequoia tree, but it's a baby. It reminds me a little bit the root of the Marvel series in here. I am root. You know, it's a little tree. But one thing I learned is that for this tree to be able to grow in full capacity, it needs to go through some fire. There are some fires that happen in the national parks that are intentionally and they are healthy. And I never understood why until I was reading a little bit more, and it says those fire helps in two things. One, it cleans up extra just kind of some other kind of leaves and plants that are around that are not healthy, that are cleaned up by that fire. And in some cases, it opens the seeds of the next trees. So the fire is healthy for the growth. And you know, when I heard that, I like it, but I didn't like it. You know what I mean? I like the point, but I didn't like the fact that, yes, sometimes we need to go through fire. Have you been there? When you say, "Oh, this was not fun," but it's a way where you sense in God's love, He's cleansing you. The scripture there in 1 Peter, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." He told them, "I know, guys, you're going through a lot, but there is a very special thing at the end. Even with all of this, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Yes, sometimes we're going to need to accept that cleansing moment. It's not fun. It's not something we look for. But it's necessary for our growth so we can thrive in that life. And then we're also called, the last one, to be holy. "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, 'You must be holy because I am holy.'" So we are having that invitation to be called to be holy. Now, when you think about what it means, and where it's in the scripture, when you see that it's about learning to be that person that is cleansed by God, who remembers God's grace, who's striving to the grace of God, then you realize being holy means that I am also invited. I'm able to thrive and I'm able to grow. So the invitation for all of us today is, do we really want to grow in holiness? Can we see that this holiness word is not just something that we talk in the church? Can it be the way that I'm shaped? And you see, to be in a life of holiness, sometimes what happens is we're trying to just carry something that has made us feel safe during our entire life. And we feel scared of letting that go. And we're just carrying that thinking, this is going to save me. This is what is going to help me to keep going. But the reality is that those things that sometimes we're carrying, they are in the way. Instead of saying, you know, God, I'm not going to be carrying things that are just helping me to be codependent and sort of live. But I'm just going to let that go and accept your grace and accept who I am for you and accept the person that you created me to be in this place and just empower this world through your love. And through that, live a life that is holy. Through that, just learn to know that there is that living hope waiting for me now, but also in the future. You see, that's the kind of life that this world is looking for. It's looking for those who are capable to understand we are part of that living hope because we have received it. What if we are known as Northern Hills United Methodist Church? It's a church that has a lot of crazy people. Yes, but we're crazy for Jesus. And we're crazy because we're looking for that holiness. You see, John Wesley said he wanted 100 of those crazy people. And he said, if I have 100 of them, we can transform the world. We're more than 100 here. I think we can transform the world when we commit ourselves to grow in that holiness. So could it be that today we stand up together and we say, God, I am a work in progress, but I want to reach that place of holiness. Amen? So any of you who are a work in progress, willing to grow, stand up and let's together proclaim our lives that belong to the Lord.